We have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6, I'm just going to read two verses to start off with, and we're going to go through this chapter. Joshua chapter number 6. And you know, there are times in my life, I don't know if it's true for you, it's true for me, the times in my life that just seems like the devil won't leave me alone, you know? And it always happens after, I don't know how else to put it, after a breakthrough. You know what I mean? After God's really gotten a hold of me about something, and I've said, okay, Lord, you're right. I'm with you. I'm going after it. And then the devil says, no, you're not. You know, and he jumps in there and he bothers you and he throws things in and he afflicts your checkbook a little bit. You know, and then I'll just tell you. A couple of weeks ago, I found out that I lost one of my major accounts at work, one of my big stops, and I have mixed emotions about losing it. I'm mixed emotions because I'm glad I'll be home early to be with my wife and kids on Friday nights now, but on the other hand, we could use the money. You know, we're all there, and I said, well, Lord, I've been asking you to help me to be a better prayer and to pray harder about things. Well, all right, I will. And I did. And about a week later, now the devil was trying to discourage me. About a week later, I replaced that stop with something that puts me home earlier and picked up some extra work, and God has really seen fit to provide. And so the devil gets in there, but God comes right back, and God encourages you, and he puts his arm under you. And that message this morning by Brother Ray really helped, talking about the sufferings of Job. And I am not pretending to be the man that Job was, but we all suffer a little bit, and it's good to know that God is sovereign and that he's there. And I believe he has a message for us tonight, maybe along those lines, but a message for us tonight. And this is something that maybe one of those breakthroughs that God has been dealing with me about, and he's really laid this on my heart, and I've seen a burden. I used to say that I have a burden, or God's given me a burden. But the Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, the burden that Habakkuk did see, and I've seen it. And I've seen things in my work and seen things as a youth director in the church, and just seen things in life. Seen some things that have burdened me. And God's really laid this on my heart, and I'm going to try to unload it tonight, if you'll pray for me. I'm nervous. I always get nervous. Brother Vic quit bringing me big, tall bottles of water because I kept preaching too long. And there are jokes that I could tell to get started just to kind of loosen me up a little bit, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to go in and read. Just going to go in and read Joshua chapter number 6, verse 1. The Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, if you would underline the phrase, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and then circle the word see. Circle the word see. He says, see, I have given into thine hand, Jericho. Tonight I'd like to preach on this subject, Tampa for Christ. Tampa for Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach. And God, I pray that you will help, Lord, convey this message that you've so strongly conveyed to me. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us tonight in a special way. And Lord, we know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And I pray, Lord, that you'll send the Spirit. Lord, send it down. And I pray that you'll meet with us, Lord, and seal this message to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be closer to Christ because of this. Lord, draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tampa for Christ. Back in the early 1900s, there was a man named Seth Joshua, and he lived in Wales. Wales is about the size of Puerto Rico, so not real big. And back in 1904, when all of this happened, there were between 500,000 And between 500,000 and a million, between 500,000 and a million people in an area that's about the size of Puerto Rico, not real big. And in 1904, there was a great revival, and hundreds of thousands of people were saved. And Seth Joshua was used greatly in the weeks and months prior to that Welsh revival. And the story is told that his son, Peter, skipped school one day and went to the park. And while he was in the park, he saw his dad walking. And here comes Seth Joshua walking in the park. And so Peter did what any good young boy would do, and he jumped in the bushes and hid from his dad, because he knew his dad was going to get on to him for skipping school. And when he saw his dad walk by, he heard his dad weeping, saying, "Give me whales. Give me whales. Oh God, give me whales," praying for his nation. But God didn't give him whales. But God used Seth Joshua in a great way to influence the main character of that revival, a man named Evan Roberts. And Seth Joshua preached a message one night, and he spoke about the bending of the Holy Spirit. And he preached on how God needs to get a hold of us and bend us and make us what we ought to be, and we ought to be out there doing things for God. And it spoke to Evan Roberts. And the story goes about Evan Roberts that he was sitting in his pew, and he was, they say, making a spectacle of himself. And he was praying out loud, "Oh God, bend me," thinking about the love of Jesus Christ. And then God used that, along with the testimonies of a 16-year-old girl who stood up and said, "Oh, how I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart," Flory Evans. And God used that, and they went out, and hundreds of thousands of people were saved. And they had mines, and they called them the pits. And these men would go down in the pits. And this is very interesting, and you'll think this is funny maybe, but this is very interesting to me. They had ponies that would pull the carts and all that back then, 1904, and these men that worked in the mines, they used filthy, vulgar language, and that's how they trained the ponies. But when the revival happened, they had to retrain all the ponies because nobody talked that way anymore, and they had to retrain all these horses because they wouldn't do right, because they wouldn't say the words that they used to say. And God really did a great work. They closed down the jails, and the police got to go home. And I mean, they didn't have any elections or anything like that, because nobody cared about the politics. They were all going out talking about the Lord. And it was just a great time. And it lasted for about a year. And Seth Joshua walked through that park, and he would walk all over Wales praying, "Oh God, give me Wales. God, give me Wales." God didn't, but God used him in a great way to influence Evan Roberts. And I'm sure that many of us here, if not all of us here, would say just like Seth Joshua, instead of, "Oh God, give me Wales," "Oh God, give us Tampa. Give us Tampa for Christ." We even have a website, tampaforchrist.com. "Oh God, give us Tampa for Christ. Oh God, give us Tampa for Christ." And if God is going to give us Tampa for Christ, if He's going to do that for us, we've got to see some things. We've got to see some things. Look in verse 2. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho." See? See it? The word "see" there means to perceive or to have a vision of. God says, "Joshua, look. Just look at it. I've given you the city. It's yours. I've given it to you. See?" Have a vision. As far as God was concerned, He'd already given them the city. Now, at this point here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, at this point, the children of Israel hadn't conquered Jericho yet. Jericho was still standing. The children of Israel were already across the Jordan River, but they hadn't taken Jericho yet. But God said, "See, I've given it to you." It had already happened as far as God was concerned. Joshua had to see it with eyes of faith. He had to see it with eyes of faith. And we've got to see some things with eyes of faith if we'll ever see Tampa for Christ. Number one, we need to see the gift. See the gift. Again, in verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho." God gave Jericho to Joshua and the Israelites. And we ought to pray. We ought to pray every day that God would give us Tampa for Christ. We ought to pray that. Every day. We ought to pray that. That ought to so grip our hearts that everywhere we go, when we're driving down the street, I'm a courier, I drive all over the place, and as I drive around, I ought to be thinking, as I'm driving, oh God, give us Tampa for Christ. Give us Seminole Heights and Sulphur Springs and Ybor City and Jackson Heights and Belmont Heights and on down the line, Davis Island, all over the place. I ought to be thinking, God, give us Tampa for Christ. Now, I don't want to mislead you and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I know that everyone in Tampa is not going to get saved. I wish they would, and I pray that they do, but I know that everybody in Tampa is not going to get saved. But I also know that everyone in Tampa that receives the Word of God and believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth, I know they'll be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. I know that. And God says, see, I have given you the city. I have given into thine hand Jericho. And God says that to us. I've given into your hand Tampa. That's yours to go out and minister in. That's yours to go out and give the gospel. And everybody may not get saved, God says, but everybody who believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again and puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, every single one of them shall be saved. That's a promise. Every single one of them. And God says, see the gift? See it? Do you see it? When I sit up here, I look out and I see no room in the pews. You know? I see hustle and bustle all over the place before the service. I feel electricity. You know? I feel the hair on the back of my head standing up, thinking about all the people coming. And I see all the people lined up on this front pew here who have been saved, trusted Jesus as their Savior. I see that van filled up, and I see the business meeting where we vote to buy another van or buy a bus. We got a bus driver, you know? We just need a bus. And they're out there, and we need to go out and get them. See the gift? You got to see it with faith. It hadn't happened yet. We had 95 this morning. That's a pretty good crowd. We had several out. We had over 100 if everybody that is usually here that was here or and, you know, not on vacation or sick. And we had 51 on Wednesday night. We have pretty good crowds the last couple of weeks for us, as far as we're concerned. But every pew is not filled. It ought to be. It could be. They're out there, and they need Jesus. And we ought to go out and get them. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But we ought to see the gift. God says, see, Joshua, you see it? Do you see it? I've given into thine hand, Jericho. And God says that to us. I've given into thine hand, Tampa. Now, there were some objections. There were some objections. Look, they said in verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in, or none came in. We can't get in there, God. How are you going to give the city of Jericho to us? How are you going to do that? They're all shut up. We can't get in there. That's a big fortified city. Walls tall. They were walls so wide, so thick that people lived in them. They had houses and apartments inside the walls. That's pretty big. People lived inside of them. We can't get through there, Lord. And maybe we say the same thing. Well, Tampa, it's just a different time. You know, it's not Tennessee. It's not West Virginia. It's not Georgia. It's not the South. It's not the Bible Belt. It's not one of these places where we can go and knock on doors and everybody's going to want to come to church because that's what everybody does. It's Tampa. It's hard. We just can't do it. Wait a minute. God says, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho. That's what he said to the nation of Israel. See? Do you see it? I've given it to you. All you got to do is go get it. I've given it to you. And then he says in verse 2, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Well, wait a minute. I mean, you know, people are kind of mean. And some of them, I mean, you know, if you go to certain parts of town, they're you know, not so nice. And you go to other parts of town and they've got so much money. You know, what are we going to do going to talk to them? But wait, God said, I've given you the kings, the mighty men of valor. I've given everybody to you, all of Jericho, everyone, rich, poor, famous, unknown, important, unimportant. It doesn't matter. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we go outside of these walls and go to them, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if it is the mayor. It doesn't matter if it's the wealthiest man in the city. It doesn't matter if it's a football player for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. We go out there. It could be a man on the street sitting on the side of the road. You know? We can go up to anybody and say, you know, you're a sinner. And Jesus died to pay for your sin. Give them the gospel. And they can be saved. That's a promise. God says, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho. I've given into thine hand. No, everybody in Tampa's not going to get saved. But everybody that believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Everybody. He said, see, it's a gift. See the gift? Number two, we need to see the game plan. See the game plan. Look in verse 3. The Bible says, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. So, you know, they just did this. Sorry. They just did this. 1 time a day, walked around the walls of Jericho. Just like this. Beth said that I needed to go on a diet and do some exercise. They just walked around the walls. This is the game plan. Now, wait a minute. How are we going to take Jericho by walking around the walls like this? How are we going to do this? God says, that's the game plan. That's what I want you to do. I just want you to walk around. I thought about doing it more, but I'll be out of breath if I do it anymore. That's the game plan. That's it. Walk around the walls 1 time a day for 6 days. And on the 7th day, walk around it 7 times. And after the 7th time, the priests are going to blow the trumpets, and you're going to shout, and the walls are going to fall flat. What? Are you serious? Is that really what's going to happen? Yeah. Yeah. See, Joshua? I've given into thine hand Jericho. Just follow my game plan, and it'll work. I'm not going to say very much about this. We've been preaching and teaching about this a lot lately. But we ought to do things God's way. You know? It doesn't make any sense to walk around a building. You know? I don't think any of us here worried about me walking around the building 1 time. You know? And if I did it 13 times, that's about as many times as the children of Israel did. If I were to walk around 13 times in here, I don't think any of us are worried that the building's going to fall. Just by me walking around the building, right? If you're worried about that, then maybe I really do need to go on a diet. But God says, that's what I want you to do. And you know what? It worked. It's amazing if we do things God's way. We ought to have the right message, the right methods, the right music. We ought to have all of it right. We ought to be right, with God. If we're ever going to see Tampa for Christ, we've got to do it God's way. We've got to follow the game plan. Our game plan is to go and tell. Go and preach. Go and give the gospel. Just give it out. Give it out. Give it out. That's our game plan. Our game plan isn't to invite a rock band in here and try to get people. Our game plan isn't to go out and tie people up and bring them in here. No, our game plan is to go out and give them the gospel. Go out and preach the gospel. The Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the game plan. Go out and give them the gospel. Go out and tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and that he was buried, and that on the 3rd day he rose again, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's all we have to do. Just go out and give them the gospel. If we're going to see Tampa for Christ, we've got to see the gift, but we also have to see the game plan. We've got to do things God's way. Go out and tell them. Tell them. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just the person that we think we're better than. You ever do that? I see somebody who I think might have a little bit more money than me. It's not hard. Not hard to find at all. I see somebody who I think might be, this isn't hard either. Somebody who might be a little, you know, cooler than me. It's not hard to find. I don't know if I want to talk to him. I'm kind of shy. Yeah, right. You know, I get a little nervous backward. I can talk to anybody about anything. I can talk to the wall and have a pretty good conversation. Bella is just like me. She was in the van today. Nobody's talking to her. She's, oh, then thing came undone, and I don't know, it's okay. Talking to herself, God help her, she's like her daddy. Our job is to go out and preach. Go out and teach. Go out and tell. Give the gospel to every creature. We have to have a game plan, and we got to follow it. A few years ago, the University of Florida had to play Tennessee. They usually play Tennessee at the beginning of the year, but this year, because of 9/11, they played at the end of the year. And Florida was playing probably or arguably some of the best football that anybody in the nation was playing. Way better than Florida State. And honestly, way better than Tennessee. And Miami was the other team that was playing really well. And Miami, they were a lock to play for the national championship. And Florida, if they beat Tennessee and then they win the SEC championship, they're going to play Miami for the national championship. I was right in Knoxville when that happened. And I talked a little bit of trash, because that's what Florida Gators do. And I said, yeah, I mean, you know, how can Florida not win? They had a great quarterback, Rex Grossman. Great in college. He could throw a football right on the line, just right, it was good. He was good. But there was only one problem with Rex Grossman. He could not withstand the pressure. Couldn't withstand it. And if you pressured him a little bit, and the bad guys on the other team got too close to him, he just crumbled. He couldn't do a thing. You could put Gracie in there, and she'd have done better than him. I mean, he was not good under pressure. And so John Chavis, the defensive coordinator for the University of Tennessee, came up with a game plan. And he hounded Rex Grossman. He sent people from every direction. And if you don't know anything about football, the Tennessee Volunteers are the bad guys. And the good guys are the Florida Gators. And the bad guys just kept tackling the good guys. And the good guys lost. Because John Chavis, the defensive coordinator of the University of Tennessee, had a great game plan. Just a fantastic game plan. The only one that would have worked. And Tennessee won, and Florida went home. Florida didn't get to play for the national championship. They had a good game plan. When Beth and I got married, I decided that we were going to leave after the reception, and I didn't know how far we were going to drive. Our plan was to just work our way down the coast, and Mom and Dad got us a little suite on New Smyrna Beach, and so we're making our way down there, and we got in the car and took off down the road, and I didn't know how far we were going to go that night. I didn't know how late we were going to leave the reception, all of that. So I didn't reserve a hotel room, and we got married June 30th, 4 days before July 4th, when everybody is going to the beach. And we got a little tired. I said, well, let's pull off right here. We'll get a hotel. I walked in. She said, nothing. I said, oh, man. Got in the car, drove a little bit more. Nothing. Drove a little bit more. Nothing. We started out in Parkersburg, West Virginia, which is almost as far north in West Virginia as you can go. And we drove, and we drove, and we drove, what, 6-7 hours? By this time, it's midnight or later. And we stopped in a little place in Virginia. Was it? No, it was North Carolina. We went all the way to North Carolina. And she said that if I didn't take the hotel, they had one, and she said, smoking or non-smoking? I said, I don't care. I just want a room. I'm tired. And been driving all day. And she said, the next hotel room isn't until Charlotte, North Carolina, which was another hour or two away or more. I had a great game plan. Made Beth real happy. And then my next mistake was when I got the hotel room there in Statesville, I got back in the car and she said, do they have anything? I said, no. I drove around. She said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. And I parked the car in the parking lot. She said, we could just go sleep in the car. I said, I mean, I don't know. We could go up to our room. It's right up there. I got one. That wasn't a real good idea either. John Chavis had a great game plan. I did not. But God has the greatest game plan. And even though we look at it and we think, how is that going to work? I mean, you're walking around the walls. I mean, all we're doing is giving them the gospel. I mean, shouldn't I have to, you know, really be able to explain things to them? And shouldn't I really, you know, be good at, you know, taking whatever they say and flipping it around, and don't I have to know everything in the Bible from cover to cover to be able to talk to somebody about the Lord? I mean, really, I've got to be someone who can really carry on a good discussion. No. The Bible says just give them the gospel. That's it. That's the game plan. That's the game plan. And then he says in verse 17, the Bible says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So Joshua says, all right, there's some things in there you can take and some things you can't take. And we're going to take these things, but you don't touch the other stuff. You don't touch it. Just stay away from it. Now, I said this morning in Sunday school that the world does not need a religious imitation of themselves. They need Jesus. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Joshua was saying here to a certain extent. So don't get worldly. Don't get involved in what they've got. We don't need the world in here. And we don't need to go out and take part in their stuff either. We need to be separated from them. And if we're going to see Tampa for Christ, number one, we've got to see the gift. See, I've given into thine hand Jericho. Number two, we've got to see the game plan. Number three, we need to see the grace. See the grace. Look at verse 22. "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house. Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord." You see that? Verse 22, "Joshua said to the two men, go into the harlot's house. Go into the harlot's house and bring her out. Go in and bring her out. Go into the harlot's house. Into the harlot's house." Look at, that's grace, by the way. That's grace. Go in and get her. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Is that right? I'll find it. Bear with me just a minute. I'm sorry, chapter 6. Had the 6 upside down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I'd say that harlot is in one of those, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Fornicators, adulterers. He said, go into the harlot's house and bring her out, her and her father and her mother, all that she has. Go in there. The Bible says that none of them, harlots, fornicators, adulterers, all of these people, none of them will inherit the kingdom of God. But then in verse 11, he says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." That's grace. We were just like the harlot, you know? I mean, we may not have been a harlot. We may not have been involved in what she was involved in, but we were just like her. We were lumped in together with her, just a dirty old sinner needing Jesus. Did you know nobody outside these four walls deserves salvation? Nobody outside these four walls. And nobody inside these four walls deserves Jesus either. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, decided to allow Jesus to die on the cross for our sins that we could be saved. That's grace. God said, or Joshua said, go to the harlot's house and get her. She was a harlot. And now she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She married a man named Salmon, and they had a son named Boaz. And Boaz married a young lady named Ruth, and Ruth and Boaz had a son named Obed, and Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David. And David, on down the line, had Jesus. Rahab the harlot is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And Joshua said, go and get her and bring her out. And there are harlots out there. There are some out there who want to be able to say, like we can say in verse 11, such were some of you. I heard a man the other day say, I'm glad I became part of the were. I'm glad I'm part of the were. And there are people out there that want to be part of the were. And we got to go out and get them and bring them in. Go out and get them and bring them in. Amen. We ought to go out and get them and bring them in. That's the only way they're going to hear about it. That's the only way that they're going to know that Jesus saves them. That's the only way that they're going to know of God's grace, is if we get out there and we tell them. That's it. That's it. We've got to carry out the game plan and give the gospel to every creature. They don't deserve it any more than we do. But it doesn't matter. If we got what we deserve, God help us. But God gave us grace. And one day, somebody came to my house, told me about Jesus. One day, I heard about Jesus and how He loved me and died on the cross for my sins. And I became part of the were in 1 Corinthians. If we're ever going to see Tampa for Christ, we've got to see the gift. We've got to see the game plan. We've got to see the grace. But it'll never happen. Never happen. Unless we see the God. See the God of that grace. Look back at chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. While you're turning, let me read this. It's about grace. About grace. This is what God did for us. Longing to leave her poor Brazilian neighborhood, Christina wanted to see the world. Discontent with a home having only a pallet on the floor, a wash basin, and a wood-burning stove, she dreamed of a better life in the city. One morning, she slipped away, breaking her mother's heart. Knowing what life on the streets would be like for her young, attractive daughter, Maria hurriedly packed to go find her. On her way to the bus stop, she entered a drugstore to get one last thing, pictures. She sat in the photograph booth, closed the curtain, and spent all she could on pictures of herself. With her purse full of small black and white photos, she boarded the next bus to Rio de Janeiro. Maria knew Christina had no way of earning money. She also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. When pride meets hunger, a human will do things that were before unthinkable. Knowing this, Maria began her search. Bars, hotels, nightclubs, any place with the reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. She went to the mall, and at each place, she left her picture taped on a bathroom mirror, tacked to a hotel bulletin board, fastened to a corner phone booth, and on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. It wasn't too long before the money and the pictures ran out, and Maria had to go home. The weary mother wept as the bus began its long journey back to her small village. It was a few weeks later that young Christina descended the hotel stairs. Her young face was tired. Her brown eyes no longer danced with youth, but spoke of pain and fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she had longed to trade these countless beds for her secure pallet. Yet the little village was, in too many ways, too far away. She reached the bottom of the stairs, and her eyes noticed a familiar face. She looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned, and her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo. Written on the back was this compelling invitation: whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. That's grace. Whatever you've done, whatever you've become, doesn't matter. Just come home. Just come home. And we need to see that if we're ever going to see Tampa for Christ. Now, lastly, we need to see God. See God. Back in chapter number 5, in verse 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." We need to see Tampa for Christ. And if we're ever going to see God give Tampa for Christ, God take Tampa for Christ, we've got to see the gift. We've got to see the game plan. We've got to see the grace. But we've got to see God. If we don't have God, if God's not in it, it's worthless. The song says, little is much when God is in it. That's true. Little is only much when God is in it. Little is still little if God's not there, and much is little if God's not there. It might as well be nothing. We need God. We need God. And nothing will be accomplished if we don't get out there and go in Jesus' name. Nothing will be accomplished if God isn't in what we do. We've got to have God in it. And he said, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies? Are you for us or our adversaries?" And the captain of the Lord's host, which was a Christophany, by the way, it was an appearing, a pre-incarnate appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's host, he said, "I'm not with either one of you. Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "Nope." What? Wait a minute. What kind of answer is that? "I'm not for either one of you. You need to be for me." That's what he says. You need to be for me. And we need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be out and out for God. And the Bible says he had his sword drawn. He was ready to fight. And he was ready to fight for the children of Israel. And somebody had to be doing the fighting, because all the children of Israel were going to do was walk around and around and around. God did the fighting. God delivered Jericho into their hand. He was ready to fight them. And the Bible says, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. He did worship. When you look at the word worship there, it has the idea of a continued condition. He didn't just say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, what should we do? In Jesus' name, amen." No, he continued in worship. He continued on his face before the Lord. It wasn't just some quick little prayer. He continued on his face. And by the way, if we're ever going to see Tampa for Christ, we ought to be on our face praying for Tampa. Praying for Tampa. We ought to be there. But he worshiped, and it was an attitude of submission. He was prostrate on his face. An attitude of submission. It has the idea there of weak or incapacitated. Joshua couldn't do anything. Joshua couldn't do anything. He was just laid out on his face before the Lord. We can't do anything. We can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. And if we're ever going to see these pews filled, but that's not really the goal, is it? I don't think it's really the goal to see the pews filled. I mean, if we want to fill the pews, we can fill the pews. If we're ever going to see Tampa for Christ, we've got to go with God. We've got to be on our face before the Lord. We've got to go in Jesus' name. So we ought to see the gift. We ought to see the game plan. We ought to see the grace. And we ought to see the God. I want to see Tampa for Christ. What about you? Do you want to see Tampa for Christ? Do you want to see countless souls come to know Jesus Christ? I want to see that. I want to see those bars and places on Dale Mabry close down. You know, Tampa is known for what they call gentlemen's clubs now. Tampa is known for those places. They're just wicked, wicked places. That's what Tampa's known for. That's sick. Sick. And it'd be really easy to get mad at them. But what do we expect? They're not saved. They're not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. We've got to go and give them the gospel and bring them out. Get them out. That's what we have to do. There's a song. I should have looked it up first and had it ready. We sing it around here quite a bit. It's number 335 in the book. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. There shall be showers of blessing, precious, reviving again. There shall be showers, or over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Mercy drops around us are falling. And we see God's hand of blessing here, a drop there, a soul saved here, a soul saved there, a new family here, a new family there. We see mercy drops, and thank God for the mercy drops. Thank God for the mercy drops. But for the showers, I plead. For the showers, I plead. I don't just want mercy drops anymore. I want showers. I don't just want to be content with seeing a soul saved here and a soul saved there and a life changed there and a family changed there. And Tampa is full of people, full of homes that are breaking, full of people who are on their way to hell. Full of them. Mercy drops aren't going to do it. For the showers, we plead. But for the showers, we plead. We plead. I want to see Tampa for Christ. We've got to see the gift, see the game plan, see the grace, and we've got to see God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for this message. Lord, I pray that you'll give us Tampa for Christ. I pray for the one that's here that doesn't know you as Savior. And Lord, I pray for the ones here that do know you as Savior. God, I pray that the ones that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they'll get it tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll save them tonight. Help them to know your grace. Call upon the name of the Lord. And Lord, for those that know you as Savior, and Lord, I pray for them, and I pray for the ones that they know, and the ones that I know that don't know you. God, help us to give out the gospel to them. Lord, I pray for the homes that are represented here in this church, and Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen them for Christ's sake. God, I pray that you'll draw husbands and wives closer together. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us in one unified body of Christ. Lord, I pray that we'll go out, and Lord, I pray that we'll see Tampa for Christ. Lord, I pray for Sulphur Springs and Seminole Heights, Belmont Heights and Jackson Heights, Temple Terrace, and New Tampa, West Tampa, Carroll Wood and Lutz, Northdale, Town and Country, Drew Park, South Tampa, Downtown, West Shore, Davis Island, Harbor Island, the Nonasassa, Antioch, Plant City, Riverview, Bradenton, Gibsonton, Brandon, Sefner. God, give us Tampa for Christ. Help us to go out, go into the harlot's house, so to speak, and bring them out. Lord, give us Tampa for Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you stand with me tonight?